Those are the latest headlines. We'll be back with an update again at 12 noon.
Yeah, but you won't be back on Monday, will you?
No, sadly I won't.
After spending one third of her entire life, effectively,
yeah,
with Highland Radio, a third. That's including nappies and everything, right? You're going on to Pastures New. Today's your last day. Yeah. How do you feel?
It's really like hitting home now. I've been grand up until now and then had to say bye to a few people already. So, yeah.
What, sad, you were, was it 22 or 3 when you first came here?
What age I was? Yeah. I don't know. Well, I'm 33 now, minus 9. So 20, 21, 22, yeah.
Wowzers. Okay, that's a long time to spend anywhere. Some would say too long. But
is that you?
No, not me. But it's been fantastic having you here. You've been such an important part of the team. But at the same time too, you know, it's also nice to see people, you know, develop and try new things and go on to different ways. So what, reflecting on your time here, what has been the, not the highlight as such, but what did you, and not working, when I say working here, I mean also sort of, you know, working with the people of the Northwest.
I suppose it's like a family here in Highland and everybody's so lovely and...
You mean we fight like cats and dogs?
No, it's a nice family. But I think whenever you're a journalist, you don't kind of... when you're working on, say, a story, say we went to the protests in Dublin, you don't think of that as a big thing. But when you reflect back, it was a huge moment. So it's nice to be have been a part of that and say, like, you know, sadly, the Crease Law explosion, you know, we just tried to do everything we could at the time. But when you think back, it was a major part of,
role
I suppose,
to play.
My career. Yeah. And then sitting in for you the odd day then.
Yeah, that's true. That really put you off, didn't it? I mean, you were doing that for a couple of months and that was just the absolute
But yeah, that
end
was a nice new challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So. And you're moving on now straight into a new job as well, which is exciting for you, isn't it? And you're working in Donegal, isn't that right?
Yeah, literally 5 minute walk down the road.
Right, okay. And for now, do you see this as a step out of journalism or...?
I don't know. It's very hard. I suppose it was hard to come to that decision too. And because, you know, I finished college, came here, and that's what I always wanted to do was journalism. But it's still part of journalism. Like, I'm still going to be writing and
There's a lot of transferable skills, isn't there? So you're still in this space. You're still, you know, the fundamentals of it, delivering messages, getting information across whilst it's different.
Yeah, and helping communities.
Brilliant. Yeah, so it's with the, can you say?
DLDC.
Okay, DLDC. I didn't want to say it
so
without
not too far at all.
You saying it, all right. So it is good. So we're all going to miss you very much.
Yeah,
you've contributed so much to... you know, obviously your work colleagues and your presence and all that type of stuff, but in reliably and efficiently always delivering news fairly with no bias, no nothing. Do you know what I mean? So you've done fantastic and we're going to miss you.
Yeah, maybe the next person will be able to differentiate between woman and woman.
You've just said the same word twice.
That was, a big thing for you, wasn't it?
It was, no, but I mean... Listen, we've had a few people from West Tyrone in here. It's not a problem. Gareth Wilkinson was women and women.
Yeah. It's just our trademark.
It's just, I don't understand. So say women.
Women.
Say woman.
Woman.
You're getting there.
Right, after 9 years.
There was a difference there. All right. Anyway, listen, you've still got bulletins and all to do, but from all of us here from the News and Current Affairs team and the 9 till noon show and the listeners who loved you actually when you stood in for me, but also that have trusted you with... some of the biggest news stories, not just in the county, but in the country as well. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you
very
much.
And the best of luck with everything going forward. And don't be a stranger, I think, is the message.
Thanks.
All right, that's Michaela Clark, who I think might be dropping the Clark moniker going forward, will you?
I think I am.
You're going full on Flanagan.
Yeah,
full-time Flan.
So.
Full-time Flan.
After 6 years of that, too.
So finally, she can embrace her married name. 6 years. Are you not married 6 years, are you?
6 years past, yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
Were you going out with... Lee, when you started here?
Yeah.
All right, okay.
I think
we
may
can't
have been engaged maybe when I was...
Right, we can't take credit for that. Okay. All right, best of luck to you and everything into the future. We'll be back with more after the break. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Right, we've discussed on this programme a number of times this rule that prohibits drivers aged 70 and over from driving school buses. You know, so if you have a Bus Éireann school bus run or you have won a tender from Bus Éireann, you couldn't drive the bus any longer once you turn 70. And these are you know, brilliant men and women who love what they do. But they could then, at 70, roll up to the school if they'd been contracted separately and pick all the same children up and take them on a tour to Tato Park or Emerald Park or whatever it's called now. So, as I say, I've not liked this rule for a long time. Hopefully it might be changing. Jacqueline Hogg is Rural Affairs and Investigative Journalist with the Farmers Journal. Good morning, Jacqueline. Thanks so much for your time.
Good morning.
Right, so have I framed that, or is there anything needs to be added to this controversial rule?
No, the rule was introduced last year on foot of a Road Safety Authority report. There's an office within the RSA, the National Office for Traffic Medicine, that basically develops road traffic policy and medical fitness to drive guidelines. And that said that there was a risk associated with drivers over 70. However, there was an Oireachtas Transport Committee meeting earlier this month to discuss specifically the issue of rural transport. So given that school transport is such a huge chunk of rural transport, this obviously was raised. And the chief executive of Bus Éireann, Stephen Kent, listened to the representations from TDs and senators and appreciated that it is a bugbear for a lot of people, families obviously who can't get their kids onto a bus because there aren't drivers there. And as you said there in your introduction, the very many competent, safe drivers all over the country who've been driving school children to and from school for years, and then as soon as they turn 70, they're told they can't. So yeah, it's a huge issue. But Mr. Kent said that while they had to follow the report, well, and that they weren't alone in following the report, Dublin Bus has a similar policy. He did say that they were looking at an independent study to see if the smaller vehicles, they're like transit vans that would bring like 8 children or less. And believe it or not, those buses make up a third of the school bus fleet. So they're looking to see if they could allow the older drivers to continue working on those vehicles, but nothing has been decided as of yet.
Yeah, it's strange. I don't see the difference between a 16-seater and a 28-seater, but there you go. And when we were covering this, as we have over the years, Jacqueline, one of the last press releases we got from Bus Éireann, they doubled down on it. You know, it's not like they just said it's part. They quoted a lot of data to back up that their belief, sorry, that you're at a much greater risk of accidents or collisions or what have you over 70. So it does seem a little bit of a shift in their actual policy than if they're looking at least at some areas of this.
Yes, well, I suppose to the contradiction that you pointed out, I spoke to one bus driver in Limerick who has been driving to school, you know, school children to and from school for 24 years. And he said that he wasn't even able to finish the school year last year because his birthday was the 2nd of June. And he brought children with special needs to school and they were very upset and confused as to why he wasn't on the bus anymore. But then there is the contradiction that he could go back to that same school half an hour later and take children on a journey much longer and be deemed safe.
Yeah, it's a la carte road safety, which I find confusing because, you know, you have to go through health checks, you have to go through screening, you have to do updated courses and all. I just don't see what happens at 70 that in certain areas of public transport that you become more of a liability and that liability is not considered in other areas. It's nonsensical. But to clarify, Bus Éireann says they're only looking at the smaller size buses then to accommodate these older drivers.
Yes, and again, they're doubling down on the fact that school transport, by its nature, the safety has to be priority. You're dealing with children, and people do appreciate that. But as you will also know, I'm sure from your listeners, school transport is such a stressful area for parents, and even the nature of the scheme and how it's rolled out. You know, parents are left till the middle to the end of August every year, not knowing how their children are going to get to school. And with the aging population, you know, drivers are getting older. So it's going to become more of an issue if they don't look to tweak this rule. Because again, the drivers I spoke to are more than happy to undergo testing every 6 months if necessary, a fitness to drive test, which anyone would be happy to do. I mean, nobody wants to get behind the wheel of a bus and have, you know, to be compromising the safety of children. like that, that would just be completely against the grain for anyone I've spoken to. But there are ways of fixing the overall system. And one of them, one of the most obvious ones, would be having enough drivers and having enough buses to cope with the numbers.
All right. OK. Interesting. We'll follow with interest. Thanks so much. We appreciate your time in helping us get that story out. Jacqueline Hogg there, Rural Affairs and investigative journalist with the Farmer Journal. What's your view on that? As I say, you know, if the data suggests that people aren't safe driving in one area of school transport, i.e. bus errand buses, but then you say they're OK to drive the same bus to football matches or school tours. I mean, that doesn't make sense. It's either one or other. I don't think it can be both at the same time. And I do wonder what data they are employing. Are they employing data from this country? Is it data from across the world? Is it factoring in the fact that people, you know, I think a lot are looking after themselves more, they're in better shape? It just seems wrong to me anyway. I don't know what you guys think. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts. Okay, we're going to be talking about the rise in motor insurances, and I don't know why it's going up, because it seems like it shouldn't be going up, but it is. We'll be chatting to the Alliance for Insurance Reform after these. On the face of it, and I haven't dug too deep in this, we're seeing less uninsured drivers out there thanks to technology. I think there's been a halving in recent times. We are seeing, I think, you know, lower payouts, though I'm open to correction on that. And we've had an awful lot of a conversation from government and particularly opposition in the Oireachtas committees and what have you, talking about the massive profits that insurance companies make, the very low level of challenge to claims. So effectively, and you'll have been in this situation, you know, you've had a bumper to bumper to someone, and next thing you know, the insurance company tells you in a couple of months' time that they've paid out, the car was a write-off and the person's head fell off their shoulders or something along those lines, right? So we would have thought we're heading in the right direction, that surely, especially considering record profits have been made, that insurance premiums would be going down the way. But Brian Hanley, CEO of the Alliance for Insurance Reform, joins us. And unfortunately, Brian, and pick up and add to anything I've said there, insurance premiums are going the wrong way from a consumer's perspective.
That's right. And today's report from the central bank won't come as any great surprise to your listeners. It found that premiums went up 9%. Last year alone. Now, they attributed this to the increase in the cost of damage claims. So that's repairs to vehicles. And last year, both the volume of claims and the cost per claim went up significantly, and has done for a year or two now. And the report is suggesting, I think, quite clearly that that increased cost has led directly to the premium increases. But I would say, you know, repair inflation just can't be a blank check for insurers. It can't be, you know, the starting point for premium increases. Absolutely, we understand that premiums are tied to costs and so on, and those costs do have to be monitored very closely, and we see in the report today there is some justification for it. But I think we also, and the government needs to focus on, the areas where we can create additional savings in the overall cost of solving motor claims. And we also need to make sure that the savings generated from the reforms that you mentioned are being scrupulously passed on to policyholders.
Yeah, because, I mean, if their costs have gone up, I suppose, any decent business model, if you've got shareholders and what have you, you pass that on to some extent. But, I mean, they are also making fantastic profits. There could be some level of absorption. And I don't really hear insurance companies rallying against, you know, increased costs or what have you. You know what I mean? They must be doing okay.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, before we worry too much about them, their profits last year were still €61 million. And I mean, as recently as 2021, insurers made a 14% profit margin, just shy of €200 million. And in the same year when they were making close to €200 million, I think premiums came down by just 2%. So yes, there have been reductions in motor, particularly up until, I think, the year before last, of about the order of 20%. But that has to be looked at in the context of the profit margin that they also have when it comes to motor.
Are they scrutinising, though, the cost of vehicle repairs? Are they scrutinising injury claims? Are they, you know, challenging any of this stuff? Because this is our money they're playing with effectively. You know, I mean, I was almost rocked off my chair when I heard the low level of challenge. This is going back a couple of years, in fairness, in conversation with Deputy Pearce Doherty at the time in the Oireachtas Committee, that, you know, effectively, if I said, you know, my car's smashed in bits and I'm in bits as well, even if that weren't the case, it was just settled. You know, has there been any increase in the scrutiny of or challenges to some of these repair or injury costs?
Yeah, look, that is a problem, particularly when it comes to injury claims, and fraudulent and vexatious claims are a significant problem, particularly exaggerated claims. And it's very hard to disprove someone exaggerating a claim one way or the other. We do see, if you were to say that there's 10 or 15,000 claims in a year, let's say, only 100 claims last year were reported to the Garda Insurance Fraud Coordination Office. So there's still a ways to go.
And so some tell us those figures again, sorry, of the total...
Less than half of 1% of all personal injury claims were reported to the Garda Insurance Fraud Coordination Office.
So that means there's no fraud in insurance then, obviously. Because statistically, you're heading towards zero there. There's no exaggeration and no fraudulent claims, obviously, then, because that would be what that indicates.
And yet they can't have it both ways, Greg, because then they'll tell you that they think it's up to 20% of claims could be fraudulent or exaggerated, and that's why you're paying more. But at the same time, only half of 1% are actually being reported. Now, I appreciate it can be difficult to prove as well. And I think the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. But there is nothing more frustrating to policyholders, motorists or business owners or anyone else, when they see claims, suspect claims being settled.
But if you can put in any invoice, right, and you can put in any cert, medical cert or whatever it might be, and there is a 0.5% challenge of that, a 0.5% chance of that being successfully challenged to whereby you potentially could get in trouble, right?
Yes.
You will you can do whatever you like. It's the Wild West.
It's still I think it's still a huge problem. And I think particularly in motor. Look, CCTV is beginning to improve things and so on. And the message, putting pressure on and on politicians, and indeed in turn for them to put it on insurers, that we cannot continue to settle suspect claims. They have to be challenged and challenged robustly. And it is positive when we do see those stories in the papers or hear about them on the radio of those cases, but there just aren't nearly enough of them. And we need to be looking at all areas where we can drive down costs, because to be honest, it is difficult to challenge international headwinds when it comes to inflation around the cost of parts and supply chain. But there's a lot of other things we could do. And I think one of the areas that we need to see addressed is we would like to see more cases settling at the Injuries Board. This report from the Central Bank today showed that a third of cases still settle in litigation. And that accounts for 2/3 of the overall cost of all motor claims.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it?
Huge problem. So if you know, and it's important for people to know that, you know, you can get your compensation at the Injuries Board, and it will be very similar, if not the exact same, as you would get it through litigation. And you'll get it in half the time, because it's a much faster process. But by removing unnecessary legal fees, and no one has an issue with complex or contentious cases, you know, going to litigation, but the vast majority are much more straightforward, and it's an unnecessary cost. And I think we need to see far more cases settling at the Injuries Board, because that will reduce the overall cost of claims. And then insurers really are running out of excuses not to pass on those savings.
But yes, you and I are chatting away here, and I would say, and I would hope, unless you're in the business of repairing vehicles, or you're in the legal professional working in this area, or you're working for insurance companies, you might think we're talking twaddle. But who is the overseer of the insurance company? Who brings them into a room and say, look, we're going to have to challenge you to at least have these amount of cases settled in the resolution board? You're going to have to at least, you know, out of 100, randomly pick 20, scrutinise them and challenge them if they need be in terms of vehicle repairs or what have you. You know, is it regulated at all? And if so, it sounds very light touch.
Well, it is. So in answer to your question, the Department of Finance is responsible, and the Minister for Finance is responsible for insurance policy in this country. And the junior minister there, Robert Troy, has specific responsibility for insurance policy here. It is, they're always run into difficulties, of course, with, you know, interfering with the market and so on and so forth. But I do think you raise an interesting point. It would be interesting to know how well resourced the fraud detection units are across all the insurers. As I said, there are some very good ones, but others that you rarely hear bringing a case. You know, you don't read in the papers about some of those insurers.
But you see, if they can pass on routinely whatever increases they have. Where's the challenge for them to spend some of their resources in this? They'd have to be so focused on looking after the customer that we're not seeing. You know what I mean? So if they challenge this, their profits don't necessarily decrease or increase, but their expenditure would increase because they'd have to have a better resource department, I think.
Yes, and it is expensive. Like, to be fair, it is expensive to bring those cases. And, you know, to take them to court is expensive because often you're bringing someone to court maybe and you're not going to be able to recover your legal fees from that person. And that person might decide to appeal and then we're into the High Court and legal fees are off to the races. So I do appreciate that there is a cost there. However, if you keep settling cases, it's short-term thinking and no message goes out that it's unacceptable, that you will be caught, that this will be challenged. And I do think it is worth the time and the resources in the short to medium term if we are ever to do anything about that issue. I mean, you have to look at other areas. There are savings coming, like the 1% motor levy is gone. The insurance compensation fund levy is about to be halved. You mentioned that at the top, uninsured driving has come down by half since 2022. And more claims are settling using the personal injuries guidelines, which has reduced awards by 25%. So I think it's absolutely important, vital, that we pay close attention to what these reports from the central bank, and indeed the government has a new transparency code coming out. We need to see clear proof that these savings are being passed on. One other area I think to look at as well, if I may, Greg, is like in July, the government decided not to increase personal injury awards by 17%. And there's been a lot of talk about that earlier this year. And this was based on the recommendation of the Judicial Council last December. Now, insurers would have had to make very significant provision for that increase, and that would have been loaded onto everybody's premiums for the last while. Since that's not happening, it's absolutely essential that those early assumptions are reversed. And frankly, those now unnecessary reserves are actually paid back to policyholders in future premiums and not banked as profits. And over to the government on that one and their new transparency code to make sure we see the savings we know are there offset what the costs when it comes to repairs.
Interesting point. We shall watch with interest. Brian, thanks so very much. Have a lovely weekend.
Great to be with you.
All right, bye-bye. Brian Hanley, CEO of the Alliance for Insurance Reform. Tony, are you there? Good morning.
Good morning.
Greg here. Yeah. What's your experience with the insurance market?
Well, I'm getting on in years now, but I was insured with a local broker here in my area for a number of years, and I always got, you know, when your insurance is due, they let you know within a month. You know, always there's a month. They have to inform you that your insurance is due in a month's time. So when you go on and talk to them, then you know, what quote is it? And they try these different companies to get the best quotation. And but this last number of years, my insurance has gone up, like, from maybe less than 300 up now, and it's over 500 now. Like, that's the way it's gone. But anyway, I decided this year, I got my monthly notice to that my insurance was due. So I've seen these ads on television, you know, if you go with this company, you can save up to 200 plus euro. So I was looking at it, and I thought, well, 200 euros, good for me, it's just for the insurance company. So anyway, I applied for it, phoned up and got the quote over the phone, paid for it with my card over the phone, and I got my insurance the following week in the post, you know, your cover and your thing for the one screen and all. So anyway, I thought, you know, this was about a week before my insurance was due with my local broker. So anyway, I got a phone call from my local broker then, and he says, your insurance is due, you know, in a few days' time. Are you coming in or what? Or what's the story? And I said, well, I've got insured with another company. I got a fairly good quotation, and you know, he said, that was fine. He says, by the way, he says, who did he get insured with? So I told him, and he says, you wouldn't mind coming in and let me have a look at this? He says, and I says, well, why? You know what? No, he says, just want to see, you know, exactly what's what. So I went in anyway, and he spent a half an hour there, and he had a look at it and went through it and all. And he was shocked. He couldn't believe the amount of things that you're not actually covered for. Because, like, a lot of people, you phone up these companies over the phone and you get a quote. You tell them you want to be insured for this or that, you know, whatever it is. And a lot of times you're not properly insured, and if you go into a broker, he explains to you what exactly you're, you know, what you're covered for and what you're not covered for.
Can you remember some of the obvious things that you'd lost cover for?
Yeah, well, one or two. Like, one of them would have been, say, if you had an accident and your car was off the road, say you weren't covered for a courtesy car.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't be... there were things, Greg, that I didn't really understand. Yeah,
international travel can be one as well, and windscreen cover and breakdown cover.
Exactly. You know, people, 99.9% of the people phone up these companies and get a quote, and you pay your money over through your bank card or whatever. But when you get somebody who knows what it's about to look at it, and they pick up on these things right away, and he just couldn't believe it. If I had wanted to cover what I should have been covered for, it would have cost me more than the quote I was getting from my broker. You know, yeah, over, it would have been 500.
I think for lots of people, Tony, you're right, but I think for lots of people, insurance is just a prerequisite for getting on the road. And regardless of exactly, what is or isn't covered, you just go for the cheapest, because if you were to be fussy, it could be the difference between getting on the road or not. So it's just to get legal, get the disc in the window and crack on. But I take your point. You need to make sure that if you need certain stuff covered and you have the resources to pay that bit extra, make sure what's covered is covered.
Well, that's it. I mean, you could be involved in an accident. It may not necessarily be your fault. And it ends up that you're going to be out a lot of money because you didn't realise what you were actually covered for and what you weren't covered for.
So what did you do? Did you cancel? Was there a cooling off period?
Sorry, I was lucky, Greg. You know, when you get your insurance from a company, you have 14 days. There's some name on it. Cooling off period. So I was lucky enough. I think it was my 12th day, and I phoned up this company again after I talked to my broker and said I want to cancel. So, you know, why, blah, 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 what's it? And I just said, you know, well, I'm just not happy with it, you know, and it just... within the 14 days, and that's okay. So I got my money back, and I got my insurance again with my local broker, who I've been insured with for a number of years. So, I mean, it just shows you I could have been caught out big time if my broker hadn't just asked me. He said, look, I don't usually do this, but he says, would you mind letting me, you know, show me what you've actually got? So he took it in, and he says he couldn't believe how many people are being caught out, you know, like this, that they're getting insurance and they're not actually insured properly. You know, that's basically, that's simple as that.
It'll teach you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's an expensive lesson to learn if you're caught out.
Yeah.
And, you know, you should ring up maybe some of these brokers, you know, and just ask their opinion on it, you know, because talk to them, you know,
Tony, you can talk to all the experts in the world, but your story is the one that people will remember, and they'll double check off the back of it. So I take your point, Tony, but I think, you know, as I say, there'll be a few people checking their policies now off the back of what you've said. But yeah,
well,
sure.
Definitely, Greg, I would advise people just, you know, go on to your, you can't, well, you know, most brokers are decent enough, they would, if you were with them for a number of years, they'll go through it and explain to you what's what. Because 99.9% of people get your insurance and you don't really look at the detail until something happens. And then sometimes when something happens, you're out, you could be out big money, you know.
Yeah, brilliant stuff.
I've loved chatting to you, Tony.
Thank you.
You're doing a good job there.
Oh, really? Could you put that in an email? Send it to Sean Quinn.
It'll cost you.
Send it to Sean Quinn, CEO Highland Radio. Good man.
Right, Greg.
Look after yourself,
Tony.
All
the best,
right, bye-bye. On the insurance issue, Piers Doherty proved the insurance companies exaggerated and were being untruthful. They're actively trying to fleece us, says a listener there. On the issue of older bus drivers, hi Greg, Bus Éireann should do a survey on their own drivers and find out what number of crashes were caused by the younger drivers against their older drivers. Thanks, Greg. Well, listen, I'm unashamed. I don't think it ever benefits to elevate one campaign to criticise another group of people, but I'm very much opposed, personally speaking, to anything that I've seen that stops really good people being unable to do their work in certain areas but can batter on and do the same work in a different area. There's an ad on TV at the moment where a motorist says she saved €290,000 on her car insurance. What baffled me is how one insurance company can assess the risk with such a difference? Another, I'll tell you why motor insurance is going up. False claims, that's why. I had a collision. The other person put in a claim to my insurance. I supplied evidence and her claim was rejected by my insurance, but now it's going to court. Bear in mind, this person had no insurance on her car, but my insurance just said that's a matter for the Garda, that she still had a right to claim, which is the truth, because we all pay into a fund that does provide third level of cover, I think, in these types of instances. All right, but at least your insurance company challenged it. That's not happening a lot. And 0.5% go to court. So you're in a very exclusive club there. I hope it works out. Okie doke. Donna Marie Doherty is in with us. She's deputising for Shannon, keeping us up to date with what's happening in the world of social media. How are you getting on?
I'm all good. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. And you were just saying as we were coming on air that you were going to a Halloween party.
Tomorrow night.
Can you spoil it or is it a surprise?
No, yeah. It's not a surprise.
In a Christmas jumper.
Now, there's a whole story here, but you're absolutely going to hit. So, you know the TV show Glee?
Mm-hmm.
I am going as Rachel Berry, and there's a whole big thing where she wears her reindeer jumper. Right. And I was actually clearing out the wardrobe, and I was like, Halloween costume sorted.
Lazy.
Christmas.
but you've got a backstory that maybe makes it seem like it's not.
Oh, yeah. No, this has been years going into the making.
Okay, right. All right. We're going to talk some Halloween stories. I would love to do one whereby people rang in. And I always forget because Halloween creeps up on me where people. Can I just, before I do that, by the way, if you're on the road, there's a very bad oil spill on the road from Termon to Kilmacrenan, travelling in both directions. Please be careful. So it's wet out there and it's a bendy old piece of road, so be careful. So, yeah, I'd love to get some Halloween stories, but you're going to help us with that.
Absolutely, yeah, because we have ones here. We have Greencastle, Inishbofin, Letterkenny, Tuinrufo,
and are these user-contributed?
They are one. There's a big website called The Haunted Database.
Okay.
And it had just reams of pages of local ghost stories and things that people have seen.
Right, well, let's start with that, actually, because
Then.
I'll tell you why it might trigger some interaction. It's content, you know.
Oh, yes.
So what ghost stories do we have?
So I think one of the more local ones to hear, anyway, is that there was a flat that was haunted in Letterkenny, and it was around 1992, and a blessing had to be performed because the occupants there were experiencing, they were hearing strange noises, there was cold spots and unidentified voices, which was very creepy. And then after they got the house blessed and researchers came in, it was learned that the site was previously used as like a sick house. Ooh. So, creepy.
Yeah. anything else there? What else?
There is, this one is my favourite one that's on it. So it's The Vanishing Hitchhiker. And this is between Barnesmore Gap and the Castle Derrick Junction. So imagine foggy driving in the pitch black. And it is said to be around December 1983. And the story goes that the vanishing hitchhiker takes the form of a young woman who jumps into any car that stops in the dark. Yep. Have you?
I've been told this by someone that claims that it was they that had this person as a passenger.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, going back a long time, but yeah.
Oh, God. There's one story that says she got into a taxi that was going this way and the car became extremely cold. And after nearing a section, a woman said, "Stop here. This is where I died."
Oh, no.
And then she vanished.
I wondered, did she ask the taxi driver, is it busy and what time are you on till?
Or no, the best one, do you take card? And see, whenever they say
that's
no,
so,
I lose my
will so
to live.
Generational, that.
Oh, no, no.
That's,
it's a sore spot.
Are you busy? Are you busy? What time are you on till?
Or very young, since we would let her kind of like, and do you have your own number that we could just call directly?
cuts out the commission. Right, okay, any ghost stories, let us know. 086 60 25,000. Right, my AI video, what's this about?
This is something that really creeped me out, so it is. So I woke up yesterday morning and I had a message from my friend saying, have you seen this?
Right.
Whenever I went into it, it was a link to a YouTube video that had me and Darren's photo on it.
It's saying sign in to prove you're not a bot.
Oh, no. YouTube's been doing that. YouTube's been doing that. I've had some bother
with
it.
Why is that?
I'm not too sure.
They're trying to target our ads. Let me see whose account can I use. There was an issue while signing you in. Troubleshoot here. Right, anyway.
You better on. I'll carry on telling my story. So we're there's been two plays on in the Valor. There's The Dog's Life and The Ripple Effect. And so there's two different group chats. And somebody in The Dog's Life group chat was like, gosh, I was trying to see if I could find any other versions of the play online just for a nose to see how they did it. And this came up, who made it? And it is a photo of me and Darren that goes through multiple transitions and an AI voice that is taking all the information from the plays and reading it out.
I'm going to rip this monitor off the wall and throw it into the bin. Why? I'm going to try a different browser. Yeah, okay. Chrome, come back. All's forgiven. Yeah, so keep talking. Sorry. Or maybe you've finished.
No. It's all good. But it's just the kind of thing that the video was there. It had hardly any views at the start where it was kind of like, oh, who made this here? Because it's kind of bad. And then whenever we went onto the page, it's called Worldwide News, I think. So they just seem to go and rip stories and generate AI content out of them. But maybe it is a person behind it. I can't see. Like, given all the other, there's like stories from all over the world. I don't know why. Well, of course, our plays are fantastic. That is why it made the Worldwide News. But you know what I mean? Like, it was just really unnerving that you forget.
I can't see it. I know. I'll check it out in a bit. Right. Irish parents dominating TikTok trend.
Oh, this made my week, so it did.
Go on.
So, do you know there's the trend where you have two people standing back to back and one of them sings Cardi B and the other one is a Blondies?
No. It's Four Non-Blondes.
Oh, okay.
And Four Non-Blondes is the wake in the morning and then the Cardi B rap underneath it.
Bees in the Trap.
But I can't play that because there's a...
I've edited it.
Have you really?
I have edited it. Yes, I've come prepared. Okay. So this doll got her to get her mommy and daddy to do it and it was just carnage, but it's something that you'd see in every kitchen in Ireland. It was so funny.
Let's have a quick listen and a look.
I feel kind of high.
No, and I get real high,
and
Dad.
I get real high.
I scream to the top of my lungs.
And I scream at the top of my lungs.
Right, Mum, what's your bit?
What is it?
Sorry.
Yeah. I can't remember it.
And they ain't saying nothing.
100
can't tell me nothing. Mickey Minaj, I'm not sure.
It's just Daddy still going for it in the background.
Okay, you ready?
Bees in the trap. Bees in the trap. Bees in the trap.
Tell me that is not your junior infants teacher doing your jolly phonics. Bees in the trap.
I think that's good. Right. It's Nicki Minaj. It's not Cardi B, isn't it?
She said Cardi B in the video.
I think it's Nicki Minaj.
Oh, dear.
But anyway, I don't get that trend. It kind of annoys me. And I do like my trends.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was
so funny.
But I do
like the actual track.
I think you and Shannon would do a brilliant go of that. So I don't think
it's
so funny. Absolutely.
Who does the rapping? I'll do that.
I would have thought Shannon would have done that. Shannon's
she's
feisty.
She's not very cool, though. I'm cool.
Yeah.
No, she's not. She's not cool. I'm irrelevant. she's not. That's lovely.
And then
I love TikTok. I really do.
I spent my life on TikTok. It's terrible.
It is terrible.
TikTok's best. And then as I was trawling through TikTok then, have you seen the whole thing? It was happening over in America of the pleather pants. And the whole thing was that if you squatted, it sounded like you sat in a whoopee cushion.
Right.
And this poor unsuspecting...
Oh, one second.
This is the
nature. What's going on? All right, okay, we'll stop that. So, okay.
And they ain't saying nothing. No.
Just
stop.
Let her get her bees in the trap, Greg.
No, I'm going to have to close WhatsApp and reopen. No, all right.
They say that ghosts infiltrate technology. Maybe the studio's haunted.
That is spooky. Okay, so talk to me about the pants then.
So this poor unsuspecting Irish mother had the most reaction you could imagine. So she got her trousers and she's like, "Oh, Mom, show me your trousers." And then she was going to drop it like it hot, and it just derails from there.
Let's see.
Mom, underneath trousers, drop it like it's hot.
That's not me. It's definitely not.
Do
me.
It again.
Yeah, that's air in her leather trousers, I think.
And then she's like, "I'm going to have to take these back." And they're like, "Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to show them."
It's the reaction.
We did contact the brand, but unfortunately, they did not want to get back to me on the magical musical pants.
Right. Okay.
I tried.
What next?
What next? We have. Oh, you were talking about doppelgangers.
Yes.
And then I had a brainwave about one. It came to me. My goddaughter's now 6, and back when in her very young years, loved Blippi, and she could not differentiate Blippi and Lee Gooch. She thought they're the same person for ages.
We need to get orange glasses on him and an orange cap. Looks wise, yeah, they've got Blippi does my plant in
energy wise.
Do you know there's two Blippis?
Yeah, I seen that when I was looking there up, and I was like, I thought whenever I was looking up, I was like, I remember you looking a lot more.
There are two Blippies. Like there's the original, the OG Blippi, and then there's another one, and then there's a woman as well now. Yeah, I can see it, Lee Gooch and Blippi, definitely.
I can see
Lee doing children's programmes.
Absolutely. I think if we put orange glasses and a blue hat on him and put him down to Century Play, he'll make his millions.
Let's try it. But with Lee, if the fee's right, he will try it. That's the thing.
All right.
Lee Gooch and Mr. Blippi. When we did do that, Shannon put together a few side-by-sides. They were desperate. I didn't condone mine. I don't think it was fair.
Yeah, I thought you were going to come in your Harry Hill costume.
Yeah, no, we're not doing Harry Hill. I've matured since then and grew a beard because of Harry. But what's his name? Joe Dex and...
Bradley Cooper.
Though Bradley Cooper has had something done to his face. There's something happening in Hollywood with the faces.
They're all...
The whole faces are changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind. You know, if you want to do a bit of work, a bit of a facelift, that's fine. It wouldn't be for me. But the whole faces are changing shape.
Have you seen Kris Jenner lately?
Yes,
she is the double of Kim. Now she got a facelift and that plastic surgeon, like where dues are made or paid, he did a brilliant job on her.
If you think I've lost my microphone. Like if you think stretching your skin, like if he went any further, she would have had a beard.
Oh, but you know, whenever you see somebody's got a facelift and they just are like,
yeah, okay, you know. Right. What next?
We'll go on to Strictly Come Dancing. We'll come back to the Haunted Mansion. So Joe Sugg and then Diane, her second name's left me. She won it last year. She was dancing with Chris.
I don't watch it.
Oh, okay. Mm. Well, she's pregnant and they're having a baby and it was all very lovely. Yes. But then last week we were talking about Claudia and Tess.
Yes.
And it was like, why was their news so rushed? Mm. And on a live stream, Joe, we have a clip there of him saying it was like, well, I hope they didn't have to rush their news for the same reason we had to rush ours.
Let's hear it.
We had to also, a little side note, like we had to announce it slightly rushed. And I don't know if it's for the same reason as to why Claudia and Tess had to rush their bit of news out. If it was, then it's very annoying. But basically, we had an email on a Friday, basically sort of saying, oh, hello. We have very reliable sources that have told us that you're having a child. So it's such lovely news. So we're going to tell everyone on this Sunday. We were like, what? Yeah, it's lovely news, but it's our lovely news to tell. And annoyingly, through one way or another, we get pregnancy rumours.
See, that's the thing. It's one of those things, if you're in the public eye, how much of you's in the public eye or not? I think as tabloids go, and also gossip websites go, I think celebs into the future, in inverted commas, are actually going to be going, well, how am I going to get out there into the public domain? But anyway, it should be their news to share.
It
and I'm sure
be.
That's not why the other two packed it in.
Well, see, people are saying maybe there's a Strictly mole who's taken 50-pound notes and envelopes to sell stories.
Yeah, it could be. What's her name? It was, what's that from the Rooney trial?
Oh. Yeah,
it was...
Oh my God.
I know.
What is it called?
I can't remember what her name was.
Yes.
Rooney, what was her first name? If you give me her first name,
I have no idea.
Name. Okay.
I have no
idea. Come back to me. Oh. Right. Okay. And.
Why is Mr. Blobby making a comeback?
Because he's hilarious.
No, he's terrifying.
I'm so glad Mr. Blobby's making a comeback.
I am not pleased at all. I don't understand Mr. Blobby. I don't know why he was such a big thing. And there's a lot of people on my side on this.
Mm.
I do, like.
Slapstick, fun. Hilarious, could go into serious situations and be silly. Mrs. Merton used to do the same. You know, everything's straight, and then Mr. Blobby comes in and creates havoc.
He comes in and wrecks the gaff, and he's screeching. It's you know what? I wanted to go with the Halloween theme. That's why I put him at the end because it's the most scary thing on that list.
All right, and I'm delighted. I'm delighted he's back.
I think this is his Christmas song.
No, it's not because it's not in there. Is that Blobby or Mr. Blobby?
Yeah.
Well, people will remember that anyway. Okay, that's it. I'm delighted Blobby's back. There's hope for us all. You're too young for Mr. Blobby anyway.
Noel's
house party and all that stuff.
No, don't know.
Exactly. Yeah.
But no, he was my older sisters really liked him, but I think that maybe a thing that they put him on to scare the bejesus out of me whenever I would have been, they would have been watching me, and that may have been it.
And lastly, Disney?
Yes, so a woman died, not in the Haunted House Mansion, but she had a medical episode. Mm. And have you ever heard of the Lucas machine?
No.
It's this piece of medical equipment, and if you're like lying back and getting CPR, it's like comes up like a big box.
Okay.
And it has a mechanism that does the
CPR. It's yeah. I've seen one of them in action.
It's a difficult thing to see. And
very
violent.
The
noise of it as well, people say it's not great. But this woman had a medical episode in the Haunted Mansion in California in Disney, but wasn't pronounced dead until she left the park. And there's this whole conspiracy theory that nobody's ever died at Disney.
And they're trying to maintain that.
Yes, but she came out and they had no cover on her or on anything, and she was like wheeled out through the crowd.
Oh, no.
And it kind of is just people have been then sharing other stories, because it's not the first time it's happened, where they're trying to sort of protect Disney's brand by...
Yeah,
you know,
seems dodgy. All right, okay. Now, wishing to advise that traffic is expected or should expect delays or find an alternative route on Saturday evening in Dunfanaghy, as the candlelight Halloween parade will be at 7 o'clock, followed by a fireworks display. That's from the Dunfanaghy Festival Fireworks Committee. Listen, Donna Marie, thanks very much indeed. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
And enjoy your weekend. You're performing on stage again this weekend?
Yes, tomorrow night, but the first night of the festival's on tonight in the Ballar Theatre.
Say the first night of the what?
It's a festival, so we have two plays on
festival.
Tonight. Festival?
I thought that's what you said.
The festivals.
Okay. Right. And is there tickets available?
There is, in the box office. You can ring up or else you can go in and get them.
Brilliant. And that's the Ballar tonight and tomorrow, did you say?
Tonight and tomorrow.
Okay.